It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Here he is. Hey, welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. We've got some good stuff for you, and I hope you like it, because we've prepared today. We're always prepared. Scott, you prepared today?
I have a bunch of good stuff to talk about today.
All right, well, let's get to it.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
They actually have a couple of fun stories today.
I like fun stories.
They're going to have to wait, though.
Okay.
No fun yet. Wednesday's market was down again 2 days in a row. Dow down 45 points, but still above 13,000 at 13,124. S&P a little off-ish, down 3 at 1,402. NASDAQ up a little bit. Gold up $2. Oil just about flat. Tens fell. Yield on tens fell a little bit, down to 229. All in all, a pretty boring result of a market that actually had a fair amount of news.
Would you call that a pullback?
I don't think so. It's just a day.
Just a day. It's 40 points. Yesterday was 60. It's 100. But yet, like you said, it's still above 13. That's
13,124 on Wednesday's close. So that's still a fine level. And NASDAQ reached an 11-year high, I believe, on Wednesday's market. So listen, there's nothing to dislike. Not such a great day, but...
But it's normal.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal.
It's not a 500-point drop.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Hewlett-Packard was the biggest decliner among the Dow components. They announced that they are going through some type of reorganization, not a bankruptcy type of reorganization, but they're basically folding their printing business into their personal computer group, which I guess that's okay, but I would be more concerned about what's going to happen to their personal computer group than anything, because the tablet evolution is here, and it looks like it's here to stay.
Well, personal computers, I guess the big question is, does somebody need one? You know, you can type on a tablet, the iPad and whatever, they've got an actual little keyboard right on it, right?
Yeah, I
haven't seen mine in a while because my wife got a hold of it, and I haven't seen it. She and the kids are using it.
Well, there's
but
no
I remember
to
I
that.
Think it has like a little type little keys on there, but the point is you can type on it, you can send it to a printer.
Yeah,
it does a lot of stuff.
I could do all my home computing on a tablet. My work computing I certainly couldn't, but my home computing I could. So that's a huge market. So we'll see what happens to Hewlett Packard, but that may be the beginning of downward fall for them. So we'll see what happens there. More housing news on Wednesday, which we've been talking about housing all week. We have existing home sales, kind of a disappointing number this time around. I don't know if you saw it, but we have about a 6.4-month supply in inventory out there. Existing home sales down 0.9% from the previous month. Now, the previous month was pretty good, but that was a little bit of a disappointing number. We were expecting something better than that. And a 6.4-month supply is kind of a lot, especially going into spring when there are going to be a lot of people. You know, spring is house season. So there's going to be a lot of new inventory coming in.
And there's still quite a bit that's held by the banks that they have not put on the market yet.
Yeah, the so-called shadow inventory still is really significant impact on the market out there. It's all gonna come through at some point, but still, it's going to be a multi-year process, I think.
Yeah, I think that most people recognize it's going to be, what, 3-5 or more years?
Yeah, probably. Until we're back to a normalized market, I would say probably
so. It's a lot of inventory to work off.
Yep, so... You know, there are pockets of good news, though. Sales in the Northeast fell 3.3%, 3.2% negative in the West, Midwest up 1%, and in the South up 0.6%. Median sale price for the month of February, $156,000. That's a little bit down from last year.
So the price is coming down.
Not much.
But not much.
Yeah.
So the
flat.
Prices are holding a bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we get a big, on Friday, we get not the biggest of price index reports, but a pretty big price index report. So we'll get an idea of what home prices are doing on Friday as well. I personally think we're going through an extended bottoming process.
So it's not a quick bottom. It's going to be a kind of a sideways for a while.
Yeah, I don't think there's any V-shaped recovery to this particular problem. So that was our home news for Wednesday. Also denting sentiment on Wednesday during the market. Yields up again in Spain, up to 5.405 on Spanish 10 years from 5.24 the day before.
So Europe may be getting back on the radar screen, if you will.
Certainly Spain. I mean, you know, Spain is on the radar. And as we spoke yesterday, China, there's a lot of sensitivity to China. Although Asian markets were a little bit more tame yesterday. The Shanghai composite in China was up 0.1% after being off 1.4% on Tuesday's market.
So it's not a perfect world, Scott. Is that what you're telling me?
It definitely is not. Chairman Bernanke is on Capitol Hill again, speaking in front of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. He said that money market funds have a lot of exposure to Europe, but it's mostly the core economies of Europe, not the periphery economies of Europe. So he's not too worried about it, although, you know, he says...
Well, he's not talking about it for no reason, though.
Yeah, exactly. He's not too worried about it, but he wants us to be aware of it.
Well, we will be aware with more right after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Okay, we need to break it down. Scott, I think we left off with another revelation you were about to share.
Well, I have my fun stories.
Let's get to those, and then I've got one that's, I'll have one also that's pretty interesting I want to share.
All right, these are both fairly quick, but a little bit of fun. Although I consider the previous stories to be fun, I recognize not everybody does. Here's one as a car enthusiast, David, that you may appreciate. Formula One, the top global motor racing series, according to them, is preparing to file an IPO.
So this is for the actual folks that organize all of these races.
Yep, taking the revenue, they take in the advertising revenue, the sponsorship revenue, all that kind of stuff, and they are considering going public. Looks like probably only a portion of the company. There's a venture capitalist firm called CVC Capital, and they think the total company is worth about $10 billion, and they're going to float maybe 15% or so of
it. Wow, that's a lot of value.
Well, you know, we don't really pay attention to it here, but it's a big huge global brand. Yeah.
Well, and these are the cars that are the ones with the big tires on the front and the little smaller ones on big ones on the back, a little smaller on the front, but open wheel wells, and you can see the tire is real obvious.
Yeah, I could fit in a NASCAR car. I don't think I could fit in one of these Formula One cars.
And they run with a Formula One. Is that based on the fuel they use?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. Well, we'll have to find that out.
It's
very important financial information.
All
Scott.
I know is they're going to IPO. And here's my other fun story. Nokia has filed a patent. They have developed a technology to produce a tattoo that you can sync with your phone so that your tattoo would vibrate when your phone rings.
Kind of like Bluetooth technology?
Similar.
Okay.
It's a magnetic pulse thing.
Okay.
And you can actually even program it so that your vibrating tattoo vibrates differently depending on who's calling you.
Okay, so I have to ask the question, where do you put this tattoo?
I mean, I think it's like any other tattoo. It's your body and you can do as you choose.
Okay. Well, that is interesting. You know, I heard that there was another technology. I don't know if it's gotten to the patent stage, where there was a Japanese company that was working on a phone that they were going to make into a watch. And what they would do is, when it would ring, there's a chip or the ability to have your voice transmitted through the watch, but you would put your finger literally in your ear, and the sound from the watch would travel up through your bone and your hand and into your finger, and it would literally, because sound is a vibration.
I'm not doing that.
You don't buy that.
I mean,
you can have your finger in your ear, and you can have a tattoo, and you can communicate with the world.
I'm not putting my finger in my ear. I mean, unless there's something in there.
All right. Well, there would be the sound of your wife's voice saying, "Scott, do your thing, man. Come on."
All right. And I know you want to talk about our friend, Mr. Madoff.
Well, listen to this. Report out at Reuters reports that the owners of the New York Mets have settled in the Madoff case. And what's going on here is that the trustee that's in charge of going and getting the money back from everybody that made money from Madoff. You know, so because some people, especially the early investors, made off with Madoff.
Yeah.
They made money. And so, but I think they call it clawback provision.
Yeah, right.
They're going back for those ill-gotten gains. What they're basically saying is that the trustee, this guy, his name's Irving Picard. Whenever I hear Picard, I think of Star Trek. That's my generation, the next generation. You know, I had Warp Factor 2. Anyway, so...
You know, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, other techies, Lisa knows what I'm talking about. There are some of us that are, you know, we're born 200 years too soon. But... this Mr. Picard is the trustee, basically, and he's already recovered $9 billion.
Yeah, he's a pit bull.
And so he's going after folks that have gotten this money. And basically the argument is, you got other people's money. It's people that you were paid money by later investors because it's a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
So you didn't get back really interest or return on your money. You got the money from other people's investments. Anyway, so he's after the New York Mets. And so the long story short here is that they were going to have a big fight about it. And the judge even said, this is kind of funny, where the judge says, it's a beautiful day for a hearing or a trial. Here it is. It's a lovely day for a trial, but the parties have something else in mind. So they agreed to a settlement, and the Met owners are going to have to pay out $162 million. They did get a 5-year easy payment plan.
Oh, good.
If you act now with your $162, we'll let you pay over 5 years.
No interest, like getting your structure at Rooms to Go.
So it's a big chunk of money, though.
Yeah, and they were in particular trouble, I think, this Wilpon family who owns the Mets, because they're pretty sophisticated folks, and the story, and Mr. Picard claims they certainly should have known better. And I also saw an interview with our friend Mr. Madoff on the New York Post, that fine establishment of journalism, who interviewed Mr. Madoff, and he said he was desperately disappointed that they chose to settle, because he was hoping that they would make the case that there really was nothing wrong.
Oh, there was no scam.
Right.
He doesn't pretend to be innocent, does he?
I don't think so at this point.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's pretty well over for him. And he has actually said some very disparaging things about his victims, which I thought was especially cruel.
What do they call that? Salt in the wounds, injury upon, compound injury. That's
Yeah, I think they call it sociopath.
Yeah, that's sad. Well, it's the interesting thing is it touches, and I've got a story a little bit later about, speaking of sports, about scams in sports, but I thought that was something very interesting for what we're dealing with these scams out there and how they touch people. And another thing out there, I'm not sure if you saw this, Scott, was the identity thefts. They're all over the place. One of the and I've talked about this, but one of the latest things that's happening is it's really ramping up with tax fraud.
Yeah.
And the IRS has flagged some 2 million returns out of the 140 million or so that are submitted each year that are potentially fraudulent.
Is that right?
And so people are getting a hold of your... So guard that Social Security number and file your taxes on time.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of news in the press about emails that are coming in that are supposed to look like from the IRS, and they're not. And
the IRS does not email. They use the Postal Service, and they don't do that. I've gotten stuff in the mail from the IRS, and it's plain vanilla stuff, and here it is. And yeah. But there's nothing exotic about it. It's just straight up communication from a government agency. You know how dry that is.
And a lot of the emails are saying things like "Hi, friend," you know, or "How you do" and stuff like that. And if you really just take a couple of seconds to look at it and think, this cannot be legit.
Yeah, if I get one that says "Dear Dave," I know that
you're out.
I know that it's not for me.
Right.
But this is a serious issue, and they're doing a lot of ramping up in training, but a lot of estimates is this is going to continue. And I've got a call into a local identity theft expert that we're going to get him on the show to talk about this, because it's really scary. But the main issue, and Lisa mentioned one the other day that I want to talk about with LinkedIn. You know, we're on LinkedIn for Business, and it's kind of the business version of Facebook.
Yeah.
Kinder, gentler Facebook. And what they're doing now is the scammers are looking at all your connections, and they'll create an email that looks like it's from you to your connection, and it's something that's relevant, you know, that ties into the relationship. So if any of my clients, well, I'm sure plenty are listening to the program, we're not going to send you an email asking for your stuff.
Yeah.
And we're not going to email you. We're going to call you. So if somebody wants anything from through an email communication, pick up the phone and call them. If it's your advisor, your attorney, your accountant, a LinkedIn member, anybody, Facebook. Yeah. Facebook, this has been an issue for a long time, right, Lisa? So Lisa's nodding her head off over there. Yeah, it's been a real problem with Facebook as well. So the identity theft, though, now is over on the tax returns, and it's the fastest growing crime in the world, identity theft.
Yeah, you can't be too careful.
So, all right, well, we are going to be careful, and I'm going to let you go be careful with those portfolios, Scott.
All right.
Thank you for your gentle and kind stewardship of those funds. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, three ways seniors are hurt by low interest rate environment. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation, or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, we're back. I know I went a little long in that last segment, but good stuff, very relevant. Okay, other things in the news. Well, I want to let me get to something real quick, and I'll come back to the interest rate environment. Warren Buffett's at it again. I could play the load of bull, but don't do it. It's okay. And no applause for him. I just want him to focus on managing Berkshire Hathaway's and letting us know who his heir apparent is. But anyway, so here's a photo op. Reuters has him getting a handshake from the president, all happy about the idea of proposing a 30% minimum tax on millionaires. And the president loves it. And it's called the Buffett tax rule now. And they've done an estimate, ladies and gentlemen. They think this will raise about $47 billion over a decade. And, well, the problem is that falls way short of our trillion plus deficit we're running every year. Now, I have a counter proposal, Mr. Buffett. $47 billion over 10 years. I've got $50 billion, $55 billion, almost $56 billion in 1 year. It is not the Buffett millionaire tax. It is the fuss budget billionaire tax. I'm going to bring it up. Every time I hear about Mr. Buffett talking about his millionaire tax, I'm going to talk about the fuss budget billionaire tax. And that is where we take 50% of the income of billionaires, and that would give us $56 billion a year. So my proposal, Mr. Buffett, would generate $500 billion in revenue if you want to pony up and step up and have that tax be on billionaires, not on millionaires. All right, and speaking of things in the taxation department, we talked about this on a previous show, but it's getting a little bit of traction. The Republicans have proposed, and a little bit more details coming out, their plan for the path to prosperity, and they have proposed with a budget recommendation to change Medicare to let future beneficiaries opt out and buy private insurance. I like the idea of choice. That sounds good to me. Changing Medicaid to be more operated by the states, and spending cuts, which there's just no way we can support this. I obviously use my fuss budget billionaire tax to make an absurd point. Even if you took half of their money, $50 billion a year is still a drop in a bucket. It's 1/20. $50 billion is 1/20 or 5% of a $1 trillion deficit we're running every year. We're having to borrow $1 trillion on top of the $2 trillion that the government receives from taxes already just to break even. So, but the Republicans have their alternative, and it's certainly something that will be talked about. A full repeal of Obama's health care, the spending cuts, and breaking it down to just two tax, eliminating the, have you heard this before, Lisa? I think they've read my, they've listened to the show. Eliminate the tax breaks and consolidate to two tax brackets of 10 and 25%. All right. Now, three ways low interest rates hurt seniors. This is good stuff. The thing that a lot of people don't realize, or maybe gets missed sometimes, is that the challenge of low interest rates isn't just affecting your CDs. It hits a lot of things. And the things that we see is it affects not just CDs, but it also affects the cost of some insurances. Long-term care insurance, for example. Fewer companies are offering long-term care insurance than they used to. And part of the challenge is that they make money on the money that you put with them in form of premium to pay for the benefits down the road. Well, if they're not able to earn higher yields on the money, then those the premium's got to go up. And what most people don't know, and if you hear this, you'll be in the know, most people don't realize that long-term care insurance premiums can go up. They're not guaranteed never to change. In the state of Florida, and it varies by state, but the state of Florida, most long-term care policies are what we call guaranteed renewable, which means that the insurance company has to renew it, but they can file with the state and say, look, our expenses are a lot higher than we thought they were going to be. We have to raise premiums. And I saw a real-life example of this, of a client. He had purchased long-term care insurance before I started working with him, and he came in. He showed me this premium notice, and he had gotten a 40% increase in his premium because they can raise the rate. They can raise it, and that is a risk of the long-term care insurance. So you need to know that when you buy a policy. There are some policies, different types of ways of getting long-term care, that not just a straight-up long-term care policy. They have policies now that's blended with life insurance or blended with an annuity that might be a more sensible choice. And then the other thing that is affected by lower rate environment is also annuities. The insurance companies don't make as much on the money as they used to. So now, that being said, you can do annuities where you get a guarantee of income no matter what happens to interest rate. And the insurance company bears the risk of making money. You get your guarantee of income. So that's an obvious thing to think about and look at. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, there is more to the story about this the military guy that killed the people in Afghanistan, the massacre. There's a lot more to the story there that involves, believe it or not, financial scams. Stick around.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
We're back, and more to the story on this staff sergeant that's accused of massacring the Afghanistan civilians. Listen to this. This is amazing. He enlisted in the Army at the same time he was trying to avoid answering allegations. He defrauded an elderly Ohio couple of their life savings in a stock fraud. His name is Robert Bales. And he's got obviously bigger issues right now where he is going to be on trial for these what sound to be alleged murders. And he's got issues with, now he's got a memory gap, and there's a lot of stuff going on. But he, it's amazing. He, the people that were, who say he basically did them wrong with their investments, fraud, breach of fiduciary duty, churning, unauthorized trading, you know, 800 some odd thousand dollars. And the guy that was the victim said they saw him in the newspaper and pictures and recognized him. And he had worked with a brokerage firm, and he had basically, he had talked them into doing things that weren't really appropriate for them. That's the allegation. So extraordinary. It's almost like there's always a story behind the story. So I'm not sure. I obviously, the loss of life is more significant than money, but the crime there goes on. Now, he, listen to this. I ran across this, and I preach to you, and I hope you take my preaching with the right interpretation. I preach to you about these scams. There are good people out there that can help you and that want to help you do the smart things with your money. But here's the latest thing that has percolated to the surface: are the sports stars now are being, there's, and this is a history, it's not anything new, but it seems like it's coming out of the woodwork. And I think the reason it's being reported, there are these heroes of the American sports culture who are going to be prosecuted, because quite candidly, I think the regulators see them as a good example, because a lot of attention gets drawn to them. And so there's an eagerness there to set an example. But some of these people, there's a guy right now, they're investigating, the Securities and Exchange Commission is investigating a Willie Gault, who's was very, very popular with the Chicago Bears when they beat the New England Patriots back in the 1986 Super Bowl. And so he's involved with some problems. But basically, all of these things are, it boils down to this. When you, anybody, if it's the charismatic church leader, if it is the guy that, you know, can wave his hand and knock down the whole crowd with his, being imbued with whatever power, but the sports stars, the family friend, the person at the country club that you think you know and you play golf with, what happens is these folks, they take advantage of that, your guard being down. And so the sports stars now are one of the latest. It reminds me of a story. I had a client one time that I had actually met at church, and they weren't a client at the time. And actually, it's kind of an interesting thing. I had my wife and I were both Christian, but her background, her church she went to, was different than mine. And so we spent a little bit of time when we first got married looking for a common ground. So we did some different denominational experimenting and visiting different churches. And we went to a couple churches for a while. Well, I met this couple at one of the churches we were visiting. And later, we were going to another church, but then they attended a financial presentation I did, and they came in and they ended up becoming a client. They've been clients of mine for a long time now. But what was interesting is maybe a year or so after they became clients, the wife asked me, she said, you know, I've been wanting to ask you, and I never couldn't think of the right time to do this. Why did you come to the church? And it was kind of a funny question, but I said, well, we just were checking out different churches. And I think she's a pretty bright woman. And I think that her natural suspicion had just kind of bubbled to the surface, because there are folks, believe it or not, there are folks out there that will go to a church, cozy up to you, be in the same pew, but bow their head just like you. And they just are there. I know it's hard to believe, but they're just there to make friends and try to get the shield, those normal cautions you have about your money, to get you to lower your guard. So no matter who it is, if it's somebody that is on radio like me, if it's somebody that has written a book like me, somebody that's on TV like me, or somebody that, you know, other folks out there that do financial work, whatever it is, however you know them, you need to keep your guard up. You should ask me or anyone else that you want to talk to about your money the same questions you would ask a stranger or a referral of a friend. Say, go see my advisor. Good start, but you still need to put them through the same scrutiny you would somebody you don't know. All right, that's all the time we have today. Thanks for joining us. Tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.